Are we doing the thing or
what thing?
The whatchamacallit?
Are we recording right now?
Yeah. It is. I can confirm.
Oh. I didn't know if you were starting off the not knowing how to do this stuff or what.
Do you remember how to do this?
No. Clearly not, as we don't know if we're recording or not.
I've been gone for like a month. Do we remember how to do a podcast?
I've basically done one show in 4 months, so it's okay.
Are we live right now?
I think so.
Are we recording?
Maybe. I don't know. Let's just press some buttons and see what happens, I guess, eh?
Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios, with your hosts Adam Lund, Chris Dobson, and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to Season 3 premiere of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats, mixed in with a little QMJHL, but a lot of humor.
What?
It's been a while.
Speaking of humor.
Yeah, QMJHL.
Good.
I tried...
You're right. I don't think we did remember how to do this. This is
no,
perfect.
No, we didn't. Welcome back, gentlemen. How you been? What have you been up to? How's your summer going?
Good. Good.
You didn't sound sure there, bud.
had a short but very enjoyable summer vacation. I started watching some new television programs.
What are you watching?
My wife and I don't watch the same shows. So I thought I'd take one for the team and start watching, you know, a little romantic show. So we started watching this Bachelor in Paradise.
Jesus.
That's not a romantic show.
And, it's quite an experience, being I was a once single man who would very much would have enjoyed being on a beach with many, many beautiful, attractive young women. However, those days are now behind me, but I must say that these men and these women are very very lucky. There are very attractive figures on this program, both genders, of course. Started watching The Hills as well, which is even more
like way back in the day. The Hills, like the.
No, like they redid The Hills. Like there's new Hills on now.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
I know that they redid Beverly Hills 90210.
Which but like we're talking like Spencer Pratt, Lauren Conrad and kind of thing? Spencer. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
right.
Really?
Like
all right. Oh, okay.
Misha Barton and...
Never watched that show originally.
Pamela Anderson's son's on the show too.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's... and Brody Jenner's on there. And it's actually cool like that. No, I shouldn't say cool, but when they were filming this season of The Hills... was when they had the giant fires in Malibu, California.
Right.
So, like, that was actually part of the...
Do you guys remember when Brody Jenner's mom dad was the greatest athlete of all time?
His mom dad.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
He was on the cover of... He had a Wheaties box.
Wheaties box, yeah. And runner, wasn't he, or swimmer? He was a runner.
Yeah, he was a runner.
Runner.
Yeah.
Good to see you're awake still.
Hey,
in there.
You know what, man? Yeah, it's been a trip. There's... last time... Our listeners had a chance to speak. Obviously, the kids were still, I mean, they're still young. Don't kid yourself. They're 3 months old. But I can openly tell you right now that sleep training your baby,
yeah,
the worst and most amazing thing in the history of life once you start to get to that schedule and complain. Everything's good, man. The toughest part of the whole thing is you get to see exactly how wild things are at home because I'm back to work, of course. It's nice to get the summer off from all media aspects. I appreciate you not slave driving us through the summer. But then from that point of view as well, even on the Rogers side
did to me,
well
it's because I was here to the end of June, crying out loud.
See, I was unionized. Yeah. I sat down, I picketed it outside your house. overall it's crazy. You know, the kids are sleeping. I'm not going to say well, but they're sleeping like better than a normal, typical 3 month old baby should be sleeping. We're getting at about 6 hours sleeps per session.
That's all
wake
right.
Wake up for about 15 minutes and back out for another 4 or 5. Man.
You pretty much can't have a tough day anymore at work, eh? Because you come home and you're like, you should have seen the day I had. And she's like, do you want to start with me?
Oh, you
here you go.
You clearly don't know how I operate.
Oh, no?
Yeah, no. I walk home and be like, I'm going to go take a nap. I had a long day. She's a champ. But yeah, no, overall, man, things are great. We're starting to finally get a better understanding as to... you know, routine. I have so much respect for her and how she handles the day to day with these two kids. It's just mind blowing. But yeah, no, overall things are great. You know, obviously hockey season is just around the corner, which basically means my show is right around the corner. This podcast is firing up now. Q season is just around the corner. We'll be back in the rink in no time. I was actually at the, I was at the Avenir Center once last week and again yesterday. Yeah, it's exciting, especially because this will be the first year the training camp's actually held under their main rink too.
Yeah,
I mean, that never happened at the Coliseum. And this is just kind of a trial by error to see if this is going to work or not. But yeah, I'm excited. The ice is in. Looks amazing.
Sweet.
Let's go.
I got to play as tour guide with my parents. Show them where I'm from now, I guess. Like, they knew where I was from
before.
I was
like, pump the brakes.
Show them why I moved out here. Anyways, that's the spirit. Yeah. Playing tour guide was a lot of fun. I wish my kid could have stayed a little bit longer, but
right. You know. That was good, man. Stuff to do in the summer. Chance to meet your parents, man. We had a lot of fun. Like, it was, you know, you guys came over to the house, meet the kids, and it would be
tough. Parents have to have baby time. They missed my sister's kids, so I'm like, boy, have I got a treat for you.
How would you like two?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's always good every time, you know, your daughter makes it out here as well. I mean, it's her second trip out here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so no, that's exciting, man. And your summer was good, though?
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, man. It was good. All right, well, like Chris said, the season's just around the corner, so, I mean, we've got a special guest. We're going to talk a little bit about moving to the Avenir Center. We got equipment manager Craig Roper joining us in just a little bit. But the quick question of today, who from last year's roster has the potential to take the biggest leap this season?
I'm so torn here because, I mean, I'm not going to take your typical answer here. As far as the guys I'm expecting big leaps from, people may be surprised to hear what I'm about to say here, and that is obviously – I'm expecting a big jump from Elliot Desnoyers this year. I mean, it's, you know, kind of talked about, so many people compared him to Jacob Pelche in a 16-year-old season. We're going to find out exactly what he's made of now that Jeremy McKenna's not here. But the guy I'm looking forward to the most and the guy they're going to rely on more than ever is going to be Jordan Spence. You know, if you look at how dynamic he was on the blue line for Moncton last year, they're going to expect him to take leaps and bounds and stretch forward because, you know, It's another year. He's another year older. I don't want to nitpick on anything because I'm a huge Jordan Spence fan. But the one thing that you could hear rumblings around, people talk about, the one thing they're hoping to see that I hope to work on all summer, obviously his foot speed. They want to see a little more foot speed out of Jordan Spence. And I'm sure the LA Kings have exactly the same idea. That's what they're going to want from him as well. I'm expecting a big year from him. Mika Seer. You saw what he was capable of again last year, a full season healthy. That was massive for the Wildcats. He very well could be their big staple as a 20-year-old this year. So, I mean, they're going to expect huge things out of him. But those are the guys I'm looking for. I know it's not your typical, you know, third, fourth line guys coming on up looking to make. These are the guys. Alexander Hovanov, another big question mark. How is he going to make? Like, we need to see another leap forward from him. And I still think this team can be lethal, minus Jeremy McKenna. Our offense is going to be solid. We're going to need to replace him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, 100-point guys don't grow on trees. So these guys all have to develop. I like what I see. But Elliot Desnoyers and Jordan Spence, those are my guys.
My two are your typical third line answers. The Stewarts.
It's fair.
I think depending, like Sean is just such a utility player on the back end and stepping into that fourth line. And Jake, he elevated himself once Torch got here. He played a lot better under Torchetti. You saw his shot in the playoffs. He's got a pretty good shot. I would say he's probably been working on the faceoffs, but I expect a big year from the Stewarts.
I'm going with the heart and soul of the team, Jacob Hudson.
Beautiful.
Nice.
You know, he's showing his offensive upside. He showed it last year. You know, he doubled his point total from his rookie season to his sophomore year. I really think he's going to be able to play a top six role this year.
I think he's going to have to.
Yeah. And he just, you know, he's one of those guys that doesn't matter if he's 5'8". He's going to go and stand in front of the net. He's going to take those shots
off the face sometimes.
He's gritty, man. Absolutely.
Right. You know, he's got that that mentality, that talky toughness that people talk about. And you know what? What did he finish last year? 35 points. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to double it this year. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he hits at least, you know, 60, 70 points. That would be, I mean, that's what you expect from if he does play top six. I guess it really depends on what they do this year.
Right.
If they decide that, you know, this is our year, we're going to go all in, I think they can probably find someone who can be a more of a better top six forward than Jacob Hudson, but that's nothing against him. His style of play is suited for a third, you know, a third line player. But if they just decide, you know, to start the season, I really think he's going to have a good shot at being, you know, at least on the right side of the second line, and you know, just piling the points from there.
Well, you talked about him potentially being in the top six. I also think he's ready to be there.
Yeah. He is very much ready to be there.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
So, I was on the Hockey Hat Guy show last week, and
great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He didn't talk a lot last year on this show, so it was nice to really hear your voice for a change.
Thanks. I'm gonna try to fix that.
Not right now. You're not. I'm done. No, I'm just kidding.
So he asked me, "Is this team better than last year's team? Can this team go farther?" And we talked about a little bit off air, and I mean, I think they are. I think if, like I said last year, you know, McKenna had to take the jump, Pelche had to take the jump. So now Pelche's got to step into the McKenna role, and guys got to just come with him. You know, I think they're at least what they were, but I don't think they are worse.
No, absolutely not. I don't even think this is, and again, you answered it absolutely the most politically correct way humanly possible, and I appreciate you doing that. This team, by far, as it stands right now, the one guy you lost, Jerry McKenna, yeah, that sucks.
Yep.
You have the best goaltender in the country between the pipes.
Yep.
They go out and acquire Olivier Rodrigue. You don't go get him if you're not making a run. It's just not something you do. Is this team better than last year's team? Absolutely they are. This isn't a shot at Francis LeClaire either.
There it is.
No, it's
that,
not.
That was quick.
It's,
that was
it's quick. Not. I'm just saying, it's not.
No.
Because he carried this team throughout
they carried the mail for 3 months.
Without a question. And then, you know, basically that postseason, the first round against Bay Como, carried him through it.
Yep.
Get on my back, boys. We're going to the second round. Now, you go, and again, the big question mark surrounding was going to be what's going to happen with the backup role. What's going to happen? Was this going to be Lavallee? I mean, that was a question we were having before the season ended last year.
Yeah,
what happens with Lavallee next year? I was the guy who said, you give him the range. You go and you give it to him. I'm pretty sure that was the plan. And then Rodrigue becomes available. So you acquire him. The plan changes. Yes, this team, better than what the last year. Jerry McKenna, huge loss. But you can acquire a guy. It's just going to take extra draft picks to get him to replace a guy like Jerry McKenna. I mean, you know, nobody knows what happens behind closed doors. I mean, he's a leader on the ice, you know. He kind of keeps to himself. Jeremy's pretty quiet. I've interviewed him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Greatest kid in the world. Greatest kid in the world. And I hope he has nothing but success out there, especially for Jeremy's sake out there. I hope that, I hope he goes completely pro and the Flames just become super. Which, by the way, I know this is kind of off topic. I'm starting to lean toward the Flames winning that Neil Lucic deal, by the way.
Thank you.
Keep that in mind.
Yep.
Starting to lean toward the Flames way.
All right.
But yeah, no, overall, honestly, I think the team's better than it was last year. Jerry McKinnon's a huge loss, but they will fill that hole. The question mark for me is going to be what happens if Jonathan Aspero signs a pro contract. That's a huge hole on the blue line.
Now you're filling two holes, and do you have enough draft picks to fill those two?
Well, I mean, I saw Neil's article come out there, because you'll be hearing this tomorrow, it'll be yesterday's news, but about Axel Anderson. He's not coming to camp and how it's all going to play out. I'm pretty confident the kid's coming. But it's all going to depend on the Bruins. I mean, the article's plying. The Bruins still have to sign Charlie McAvoy. I mean, they've got a couple D-men they have to sign instantly. And and I can't see any scenario where Charlie McAvoy goes unsigned. I really do. But it's possible. But if that's happened, then yeah, for sure, Axel has a shot to make it a Providence. Without a question. But I'm pretty sure that'll get handled. I'm pretty sure Anderson's going to be back here. Now, how happy will I be if Aspero is still here and Anderson comes on up? I legitimately think our blue line
is
set.
That's a pretty good 1-2-3.
You got to be happy with it.
See, I don't think they're better than last year. I think they're on par. I don't think they're better.
Okay.
You can't replace Jerry McKenna. You're not going to find a player who, unless they make a splash before the start of the season, that's, you know, you're not going to find somebody to replace him really until mid. At least Christmas time.
But don't they have that on the roster in Pelche?
Not that.
I mean, no, it's because you can't.
I mean, he only had six less goals. few
who,
less points.
Who takes McKenna's spot on the top line? Is it Havanov?
On the top line?
I'm just think about this. I'm just trying to think of a scenario
I've
right now.
Kind of put together a dream team.
Sure, and I'd love to hear.
And my first line right winger would be Brandon Scoobal from Drummondville.
Okay.
Now, he'd be a 20-year-old.
Which, ironically, we have a bunch of vacancies for.
Right, but then you have to look at, because then you have to think, okay, well, the other two are going to be Sear, hopefully, and Aspro, hopefully.
Right.
So that's a pretty good
right
trio for 20-year-olds. But I think Drummondville needs him to start the year. I don't think this is a trade that they're going to pull off right away, because Drummondville is going to be, let's be honest, not great. They're going to be dog shirt. And they're going to need someone with him that's going to provide a little bit of leadership for that, for a young team. So they're not going to want to make that deal right now.
Well, they get the value at Christmas.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is, you could easily get him for probably a second round pick and a fourth round pick. That's the most I would pay for him. But who's going to, like, you still need somebody to play right wing on the top line.
Right.
This is where I would put Jacob Hudson.
Right. Right. Okay. I like it. Yep.
I don't think he's not going to be able to put the numbers that Jeremy McKenna will put up, right? But this is where I think he can get off to that start and really go towards his point totals.
And he'd be the gritty guy in the corner going to get the puck
for. Right. So that's you got your top line of Dinoyer, Sear, and Hudson. I think an average height of 5'10". And then your second line is Pelche, Havanoff, and I would throw LaRue up there. Like, I would put Havanov on the right side, I would put Pelche on the left, and I would put LaRue in the middle.
Put Havanov in the middle since he's 16? Start him on the wing?
I would put LaRue in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because if you look at it, Pelche, Havanov, and LaRue are all natural centers.
Right.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if one of them gets kicked out of the draw, boom. You got someone that's coming in that's, you're confident they're going to be able to win a draw. Right.
So
that's what I'm looking at right now as a top six, because I really think LaRue is going to be able to step in as a top six.
I agree with that. That I agree with.
That I only felt that when we lost McKenna, when McKenna was still around, I thought, okay, LaRue would be a good start on the third line.
But trial by fire, man.
Yeah, and that's what they did with Pelche. Like, it's, you got a guy who was third overall, just like Pelche. I think he can easily step in and play a top six role.
Plus, Zach LaRue, he's a John Torchetti kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's going to thrive under his system.
I don't think fans understand just how good this kid's going to be.
Right.
He's going to be like Pelche. He's going to be a fan favorite by Christmas time.
So, and to go back to the school aspect that you talked about, I mean, looking at his numbers, I mean, he still put up 54 points last year,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you got to be pleased. It's a good spot for him.
Just bring those with you.
That's it.
So if you have LaRue in your second line, who do you have third line then? Because we kind of talked about when I was slave driving you in June that he was going to be a third line guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, third line, right now I would start it with Foreman, Jacob Stewart, and Zach Alshorn. So that's where I would start my third line. My fourth line, we've got that free agent of Ontario coming to town, Philippe. I know in Quebec they would say Daou, but he doesn't have the apostrophe in his name, so I think his name is actually Doused.
Oh, I thought it was Dow.
Dow.
Yeah.
Dow.
I'm going with Doused.
Doused.
sounds like it's got some aggressive to it.
Good and strong.
Doused. What's that? Is that
Ramstein?
Doused. Doused, Smith.
Well done. I don't care if his name is Dow. It is now for known as Doused.
If that's not his goal song, things hit the fan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I've never seen this guy play, but for everything I've heard is that he is the definition of a late bloomer. 2 years ago, he was something like 5'3" and 90 pounds. Now he's close to 6 foot and like 160.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
Well, I mean, I would love to get a growth spurt like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Like,
for sure.
And honestly, like, he could even start on the third line. I need to see him play to be able to really get an understanding of where he fits in the lineup. And then the last two spots, I mean, to me, they're up for grabs.
Right.
It's...
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you've been following this team a long time, mm-hmm. like I have. Is it not bizarre? I mean, this is the weirdest, shortest free agent list we've ever seen at a training camp. Now, again, I know that there's not a lot of spots up for grabs and mm-hmm. people are fighting for it. So it's quality versus quantity. That's what it. Richie was, or John was quoted as saying, yeah. I believe it was. But it's still bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm. And you got it. It really is quality over quantity because we're used to getting, you know, 10, 15 free agents a year.
Right.
We're used to having 55 guys in training camp. There's 49 this year. So there is a bit of a dip in the numbers, but that's because I think they're pretty confident that there's so many spots already locked up that they didn't see the need to bring in so many guys.
Right.
You had Craig Eagles put out an article, or not really an article, but a tweet saying that Francis Langlois would be someone who could really, you know, be someone to look out for in camp. I agree. I think it was a ninth round pick in 2018. So, I mean, anytime you can get a ninth round pick to crack your roster,
right.
It's pretty damn good. So between him and Doust and Langlois, I think that right there is 11 forwards. So that's 11 to me. A lot of people are saying that our second round pick in the import draft, Manny Alberg, will probably start the season as well with the Wildcats. So he's a right winger. He's probably someone who could play, you know, if LaRue doesn't make top six, he's someone that could probably play on the right side of the...
Alberg will probably go top six, finish the second round, yeah, right side.
Yeah, second line. So there's a lot of question marks. He would be a 12 forward right there. So, and then you normally carry 13, 14
right,
forwards.
Right.
But there's so many guys going to NHL camps. You probably need to start the season with at least 16 or 17 just to, you know, until those guys get back. So, I mean, from there, it's just who are you going to take and where are they going to fit in?
You mentioned something, and I want to give him a full shout out for it because you talked about Craig Eagles. Had a great article, too, about what to expect this upcoming season, mm-hmm. what was going to take place. Fantastic read. And, of course, he had it over on the First Down Sports podcast that he published that article. I sort of share his thoughts. There's some things I certainly agree with. You know, what the expectations are. I mean, we've talked about the loss of Jeremy McKenna and what that's going to bring. If this is going to be a potential banner-raising year, don't kid yourself. They're going to find a player, and they're going to trade to get him. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, the overall read talked about a guy like Havanoff, you know, coming on in. Obviously, Axel's name got thrown around a lot. Craig was pretty adamant that Axel will be here, and I think the general consensus is I also believe he will be here.
Mm-hmm. And he's pretty with him being a Boston Bruins draft pick. Craig Eagles is a Boston Bruin fanboy,
diehard fan,
right? But he also knows a lot of people who are pretty close within the organization, so he could have some information about that you know not a lot of us would have. So that could be an aspect as well.
So you have to take his respect with that. I mean, he's a very knowledgeable hockey guy when it comes to that situation. And he's been a scout, you know? So, I mean, he knows what's going on. Now, whether or not he has any inside sources, who knows? But ultimately, I believe, you know, he's a smart hockey mind. But the article was great. And it talked to, you know, if you're looking for more information other than what we're thinking, if you can go totally check out his article. It's great. He has it all over Twitter and Facebook. But, you know, it's... He is right. I don't know what's going to take place with this Wildcats organization because better question for you is, hypothetically speaking, say things aren't going the way that everyone's predicting the season's going to go.
Right.
Do you look at possibly selling at Christmas?
You have to.
There's not many pieces that... Hey, look, there's pieces, right? There's pieces that you could sell, but I don't think you're in a position where you're going to sell...
You're not going to sell Pelche. No. You're not going to sell Rodrigue, I wouldn't think.
Well, I mean,
he'd be the guy that you would sell if things aren't going well because you lose the pick if he comes back next year.
Right, but if you look at it, you talked about a guy like Pelche, and the only reason I'm saying this is that his value right now, come Christmas time, will be at an all-time high, and if you know you can't win, you're not winning next year.
No.
Right? So if you're going to win and you know you can't win next year, if by the off chance it happens, do you consider it? Again, I don't think, I just said I think we're raising a banner, so I'm not worried about it. Mm-hmm. But you have to legitimately ask yourself. I mean, let's look at the Maritime Division right now. As it stands right now, who are the threats?
In the Maritimes?
Correct.
us, Halifax, and Charlottetown.
I'm not even putting Halifax.
Me neither.
Halifax is selling.
Yeah.
I would say Moncton and Cape Breton.
Maybe Cape Breton. I like Cape Breton.
Definitely Cape Breton.
Okay.
I mean, Cape Breton, I think, is a huge threat. You know, their
new ownership wants to win. You're right. Absolutely.
They still, Mandalese is their number one.
Right.
They have a really, really good top six. They traded for Jared Baker at the draft.
I forgot about Baker. That's right.
So they're going to be a very, very good team. If Moncton decides maybe to, you know, take their foot off the gas, you know, hit the brakes a little bit and, you know, maybe focus on next year instead, I really think Cape Breton could win the Maritime Division. But if Moncton actually decides to, you know, I think...
Right now, head-to-head, two teams in a seven-game series, who do you have? With what we have as far as knowledge goes today.
Like the roster we have today?
Came out today with the players that are on the training camp.
If you were to pick a roster from this training camp roster and put them up against Cape Breton in a seven-game series today, who wins?
Cape Breton.
Moncton.
I was going to say Moncton, too.
Cape Breton.
I think we have the better goaltender.
Cape Breton, I think, has a better top six. Moncton has a better goaltender. And I don't know. I think... It could come to a coin flip.
I'm being a dick.
It's not a short series, that's for
it
sure.
It is a seven-game series. But I just, there's something about Cape Breton this year that I think they're going to do some damage.
They've been poised to do damage for years,
I know,
man.
But you know what? They finally got rid of that...
Careful.
General manager, head coach of theirs, Marc-André Dumas. And they brought in Jake Grimes. Jake Grimes coached golf to the Memorial Cup.
Sorry, every time I hear it, I still think Frank Grimes from The Simpsons. Grimey!
Change the channel, March! but yeah, he's very committed to winning. He's proven that he wants to win. They've got some sort of a big announcement going on tomorrow.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah.
So does St. John. Do they coincide with both hosting the 2022 Memorial Cup? Maybe.
Well, St. John's all over the news right now, which is wild.
Yeah, but sources are telling me that Cape Breton will be dropping the Screaming from their name and just being the Cape Breton Eagles.
I don't mind that.
No, I don't mind that.
I think we can all also agree that the hardest working man in Cape Breton is Pat McNeil.
Yeah, I agree. There's also sources saying that their new logo could be that identical look of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, I saw somebody at Colorado Eagles.
That could also potentially be the, I don't know, we'll see.
All right.
Sources are saying.
Oh, I saw something today, speaking of logos, and I think it was, which one of you guys talked about this is social media done right? Was it you or you?
I showed you the thing.
So the clip.
He said done right.
And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, making fun of the Rimouski logo, comparing it to the Canadian Tire 25th. Anyways, Rimouski wanted nothing to do with it. They reply back with like, move along.
Yeah. Like we're thanks for here. Coming 7 days later. But
Yeah. It was good. Anyways, I love social media battles.
Especially in Quebec. So training camp gets started Thursday, tomorrow, I guess, depending when you listen to this this episode.
If it's Thursday, then today.
Yeah. A little bit different than last year. Just on ice, two days of on ice sessions and one red and white game. Last year they had earlier stuff and then red and white
and everybody games comes
at night.
In together. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Two on-ice sessions Thursday, Friday, red and white game Saturday, and then the first game versus Bathurst on Sunday.
Do you remember last year, I think John Torchetti was quoted in the paper saying, no, nobody's safe next year. You want to earn this spot, come on in.
Yeah.
And then you look at the roster and you're like, no, everybody's safe this year. I can't wait. But yeah, the training camp thing is weird. It's I love it, though.
I like it better than the rookies, than the veterans.
I do, too. You give everybody a taste of what's happening. You guys are fighting it out. I mean, you want to earn a spot in this team? Well, guess what? You're playing against the vets.
Is that because we have a lot of guys going to camp? Like 10 NHL camps? They want to get everybody in going
early? I think
early?
It's a Torchetti thing.
Yeah,
it's
I think he wants to bring a pro atmosphere, a pro
wholeheartedly.
Training camp.
Right.
He's a pro coach.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? You've seen, you know, the veterans got an extra week, a week of summer vacation. To me, it wasn't really fair. You know, they shouldn't get... I understand they're veterans, but they shouldn't get specialized treatment.
Agreed.
So when I saw the schedule and you know, saw the veterans are coming at the same time, I was like, you know what? It's about time. There's no reason why. You know what? These young guys are the ones that... The veterans are the ones that the young kids are going to be looking up to.
Yep.
And there's no better way than to have them all in town at the same time.
And how do you work on chemistry with a team if your entire team's not there?
Yeah.
That.
Right?
You know, you can even do like I don't know how they're going to split up these rosters, but you know, have at least, you know, two or three vets on each roster with the rookies. So it's a really good setup. It takes away from these rookie preseason games, even though I know Sunday is going to be a rookie game.
Right.
You know, it's...
Although, how wild would it be if we iced an entire roster?
Oh, you don't understand. These Bathurst fans would lose their minds.
Oh,
that was an important 2 points in the line.
Why is Havanov and Pelche playing? This doesn't even make sense. I remember Havanov played in a rookie game last year.
Yeah.
And I think he lit the lamp for like six.
His shootout goal was unbelievable. Yeah. Other than the vets coming, who's the rookie you're excited to see?
LaRue.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. Well, yeah. Other than him,
that's
the easiest one.
That's a given. But
well, next time make the rules clear.
Fine. No vets and no LaRue. Who are you excited to see? Mine's Josh Crooks. He had a pretty good tournament for the Max.
Well, Crooks was here last year in training camp.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So we've had a chance to see him.
Guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, whether or not Ken Crooks cracked the lineup, it's a tough spot.
Personally, like. I don't know. Everything I've heard about Doust has me kind of excited. I mean, it's you know what? It's I think we'll find out. You talk about the rookie that you're most excited to see when we do our awards predictions. You know, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You might hear his name again when I'm doing my predictions. So we'll see. I like. But if we're not going to include LaRue, I'm going with Doust, just because he's from the beautiful town of Barrie, Ontario.
Right. No, I'm with Adam on this. I'm excited to see Crooks again. I would love to see it if he could, because I liked what he brought to camp last year. I really did. He's going to come back even hungrier this year.
I'm also looking forward to seeing the best name in training camp, Giovacino Zimatia.
I thought you were going to go with Logan Nutbrown.
That's a pretty good one, too. Yeah, yeah. Every time I see that Gino name, I just think of Big Bang Theory. It was like, Gino the Neutrino.
So, you know what's crazy? If you look at, like, so I'll tell you why Nut Brown stuck out to me so much in this training camp roster. No,
his size?
Yeah. Insane. 6'2", 242.
What?
Oh, yeah. He's a...
No, I missed
he's
that.
He's a big boy.
Holy.
Yeah. But apparently he's lost, like, 25 pounds this summer.
So he's 6'1", 217 or something then.
Yeah.
Either way, it's a beast of a blue liner.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of, he was a late round pick too. So,
right.
I mean, you see someone like that, and you can't.
He's an 03.
You can't get excited.
No,
because.
But that's When was the last time we saw a guy that big on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, it brings me back a couple of years ago.
Jordan Lane.
No, a couple of years ago it was he was like 6'6" and like 220. Zach Vanier.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a fourth round pick. So people were kind of excited with his size and that, but he didn't pan out. I think in his first training camp, he was like one of the first cuts. So it was kind of a bit of a disappointment. But the first thing it catches your eye is his size. I mean, 240.
He's going to stand out.
That's
in the
like,
for sure.
Oh, he's a big boy.
I weigh 260, so I is that mean?
And you're not 6'1".
No, I'm also yeah. Okay, never mind.
No, what?
I was going to say I'm not 6'2". If I was 6'2", I wouldn't look so heavy set.
You're not heavy set, bro.
I'm kidding.
Oh, well, see, that's how emotionally defensive I got of you.
I look good. I've been
that
working
was quick.
Out this summer.
You look
you
great.
Can tell. Yeah, you can tell.
At home workouts.
Really? Bowflex? Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I get at least 10-pound dumbbells.
Oh.
Yeah, and I do like 1,000 bicep curls a day.
Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
975! 976!
All right, I teased it a little bit earlier. We've got head equipment manager for the Moncton Wildcats, Craig Roper, in studio with us. Thanks for taking the time to sit down with us for a bit.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm assuming this is quite a busy week for you.
Very, yeah.
So my first question, it's pretty simple. What's it like being the hardest working man for the Wildcats from August till the end of the season?
Well, I don't know if I'm the hardest working. There's a lot of hard workers in the organization, but it's definitely a grind from basically from a week after the draft until 2 weeks after the season ends, getting things ready and whatnot. throughout the whole process. So.
So let me ask you this. I mean, obviously with training camp starting up this week, I mean, it'd be a huge week for you. What goes into the preparation to get ready for what's about to take place?
Well, to be honest, most of the work was done weeks ago and days ago leading up to this week. Like, if I would have left everything to this week, there's no way I would have been able to get everything done. But, yeah, no, it's definitely a process of making sure the socks and jerseys are ready, to ordering tape and sticks and everything else behind the scenes that most people probably don't think about.
So if you look at, you know, the Avenir Center as a whole, I mean, last year was pretty special to see a building like this caliber open up. I mean, it must not say necessarily make your job easier per se, but I mean, be able to have access to everything you're doing, it must be nice to be able to work in a world-class facility like that.
Oh, no, it definitely made my job easier, no question. Like, when you look around the league and see setups that other teams have to work with, I'm extremely fortunate to be with the Wildcats.
You talk about ordering tape and all that. Is that, with it being training camp, is it something that, you know, the players will let you know kind of, for equipment sakes, what sizes they take before training camp, so you kind of have an idea? Or is this something that's kind of, that's done right then and there, registration?
Well, all the returning players I would already know, right. And all the players that we drafted got all sized at the draft. So there's just a handful of free agents and guys that I'm not familiar with that I would get their sizes from.
Go ahead, Adam.
So who's the most difficult? There's always got to be a couple guys that are not hard to work with or anything, but like in terms of getting the skate right or the depth of tape, I know there's different sizes and stuff like that. Is it goalies because they're weird? Or is it, and I'm a goalie, so I'm a little weird. But
honestly, the goalies that we have, no issues. They're pretty normal for goalies.
Yeah.
We had a player last year that was here for half a year, Simon Lecoultre.
Yeah.
He was, I won't say picky, but he was quite particular about what he liked and didn't like. And, he was very straightforward with it. So it was easy. Like, he'd tell me, I like this. So, you know, it was pretty simple.
Are guys superstitious? Like, they want this glove and this here and skates, like, different sizes and shin pads in different placements? Or are they just whatever?
Well, in the dressing room, it's all uniform. Everyone puts everything the same, like, their shin pads on the same way. They're... gloves to dry the same way and everything, so that all the stalls look uniform, I should say.
Right.
So, yeah, but no, all the guys are pretty. We don't have too many prima donnas or any prima donnas on the team. So
it's okay. You can call them out. It's just us talking. You can call them out if you want.
I was going to ask you too in regards to you hear the Moncton Wildcats, and everybody who's anybody who knows about the organization talks about how professional of an organization it is. I mean, they're compared the Wildcats to a lot of NHL teams. I mean, that's just how they're taken care of, and it starts from ownership all the way down to, you know, the management team involved. How vital is it, or not vital, I should say, but I mean, how fun is it for you to be, you know, working with such a world-class organization that treats their players like professionals at such a young age?
Oh, it's incredible. Like, before working here, I worked at Concordia University, which is also a pretty good program. But, I mean, this is a notch above or a couple notches above. Like you say, it's basically a pro team playing in junior. Like, the way things are run are extremely impressive.
Yeah, you can see exactly how passionate the president is and the owner is. He's, you know, he's one of the best owners in the league. I mean, I love watching Mr. Irving do what he does. And you can just tell the passion he has with this team. So, you know, to be able to see and talk to people who work for him in this hockey organization, it's just, I think it's pretty incredible. It's such a well-oiled machine. I don't know. It's just, it's wild. It blows my mind.
I guess my next two kind of tied into, you brought up superstitions. Mm-hmm. You brought up the actual Wildcats organization itself, but what's the most rewarding part of your job?
Seeing the players succeed, really. Like, I mean, that's why I'm there. Was for the whole staff and all the players. But my motivation, basically, is seeing these kids come in from, you know, a lot of them, it's their first time away from home or thereabouts, and just seeing them come in and succeed and have success, that's really where I take pleasure.
So you saw a lot last year as it being your first year here. I mean, everybody in Moncton did. You went through a coaching change, you went through a new building, a whole restructure, and then now this year you've got some new assistants coming on in as well. I mean, what have you noticed? If there's one thing that you could pick, you know, that not rewarding per se, but in regards to everything you've seen come through, now you see Coach Torchetti rolling through, okay? So working with a guy like John, who's been such a pro for so long, like, how easy is it for you to be able to work with a guy like him?
John, since day one, he's treated me with nothing but respect, and we have a good working relationship together, so that makes going to the rink that much more pleasurable every day. And yeah, just like we have a really good relationship together, and with all the other coaches too, like we have Ryan Salvis and John Boyce in a different role this year, or Daryl Boyce, sorry. And yeah, like yeah, just good people all around.
So do you end up, like, what's your day to, like, a game day? What's a game day for you from kind of start to when you're done?
Chaos.
Yeah. Well, other than controlled chaos.
Like, exactly. Yeah. It's basically on a day where, say, both teams would have a morning skate, which is quite often, usually on the weekends. I would arrive at like 8 a.m., prep everything for the home team. My assistant Bob would also be there to prep stuff for the visiting team. We'd have each a morning skate.
Oh, you guys do it for the visiting team? They don't have their own?
Well, we do a lot of prep for them, making sure they have their laundry and stuff like that. Water bottles, just different little things like that. So then after the each team would do their morning skate, we would have to do the laundry for both teams, as well as all the skate sharpening and locker room setup and any other little minor equipment repairs that we might need to do that day.
Right,
and then we'd probably be at the rink till 1 a.m. or so, if another team isn't coming in from St. John that's staying in Moncton, be there till like 3 a.m. But yeah, it's quite a day.
So do you follow the game at all, or are you just so focused on the 23 guys and, or 19 guys in front of you? Like, do you have an idea, like, if we won, if we lost, or are you just so focused on? Because I know people, like, behind the scenes on TV, they have no idea what the score is sometimes because they're so focused on things.
Absolutely.
So are you so focused on what's in front of you on that bench that you're like, did we win? I don't know.
What? No, I'm pretty pretty in the game, but I'm more looking for, instead of looking at, you know, who's open on the power play, I'm looking to see if this guy might have lost an edge when he turned, or this, like, you know, if a player might have broken a stick or something. I'm more looking for that. But yeah, at the end of the game, I will know if we won or lost.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because sometimes I'll just look down on the bench and, like, you see a guy break a stick and you know exactly, like, not, it's amazing. Just it's almost like you don't even look. You're just like, that's his.
Yeah, well, they're all we have all the sticks in numerical order, so it's pretty easy. You know, you see Aspie break one, you grab 18 and fire it over there to him, and
So on top of that as well, I mean, Craig, you know, you're a young father now as well. Everything's coming through. Like, it was a wild year for you. I mean, I saw you, some of the pictures you put on social media. I think you were printing you had a small jersey printed off. I think it was for your, was it for your young one last year?
Yeah, my son Brett, he's 9 now. But
nine. Okay, I thought he was a lot younger. I'm sorry. I apologize.
He's probably the loudest fan in the rink when he does go to the game.
So he must get pretty excited when you guys are out there then, eh?
Oh yeah.
I was gonna say, so is it tough to juggle like a work-life balance?
Yeah, but I have a lot of support from my wife, and she's a school teacher, so it's easier for her on the weekends and after school to look after Brett and make sure he gets what he needs.
So. I always just assume that because my wife just had kids, that everyone's kids are just really young. So I was just like,
You've worked at several levels of hockey, U sports. You mentioned Concordia. Yeah. I think I read something. You worked with the CWHL as well.
Yeah.
You also worked with the visiting bench in Montreal.
Yeah.
So what's been your most, I guess, memorable moment of your career?
This show, it's okay to say that.
No, working in the NHL was amazing. I mean, I only did, you know, for the visiting team, setting up their benches and carrying out their spare sticks and loading the bus after the game and stuff like that. But it was a very rewarding experience, especially just meeting all the players and equipment managers and coaches from the NHL. Really was a valuable experience.
So if you look, I mean, you're from the area. I mean, you grew up. So how great is it to be able to continue and do what you do and love what you do basically at home?
Well, I mean, I was living in Montreal working full time in the IT field for 15 years, doing this kind of as a sideline, but a passionate one. And then when the opportunity came to come back to Moncton to do this full time and quit my IT job, it was a no brainer.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm out of questions.
I kind of want to go outside of hockey here, because I told Adam to let you know to bring over some barbecue, but clearly you're empty-handed.
So I told you to message him.
I didn't eat supper because I was expecting some food, so I'll blame that one on Adam. But I saw on your Twitter that you had a chance to go to Texas this summer. You got the hat on.
Yep.
How's that barbecue like? The best? Is it the best you've ever had? Is it? Where does it compare in terms?
It's
of...
definitely right at the top. Yeah, I've eaten a lot of barbecue. As you can, if you've ever seen me, you can tell that I've eaten a lot of barbecue. And, yeah, the stuff in Texas is definitely famous for a reason.
That's awesome. I want to go there someday and just I need to chow down.
all of our listeners know that Jeremy's up there in regards to loving barbecue too.
Not,
he's a
barbecue, just food in general. Bring Timbits or whatever you want to do.
What's the toughest rink you got to go to in terms of setup and getting things going? And
a lot of people, I talked about this when I was at the draft with other teams, and not many people would agree with me. A lot of people said Val-d'Or, but I personally find Rimouski very tough. For the simple fact that the fans are basically on the bench before the game and during the periods or during the intermissions, I mean.
Really?
There's no like gate or glass. The fans are like drinking our Gatorade between periods. No, I'm not joking.
No, that's crazy.
So I find that a little different, but yeah. The security guards are generally pretty good, so it works out all right. But yeah, that's definitely a tough setup.
Huh. So it must have been pretty wild for you to be able to sit on that bench during that that round one series versus Baie-Comeau last year. That must have been unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had about 4 heart attacks, 6 or 7 combined, and it was just amazing to see how the guys battled through all the injuries we had and bad calls from the refs and everything else, the fans up there and whatnot. And
fans are nuts up there. They were throwing trash, I think.
I thought that was going to be your answer, to be honest with you. I thought Baie-Comeau was going to be the toughest.
No, it's as far as like
the setup goes,
behind the scenes goes. Yeah. It's a very good setup for the visiting team there. It's maybe intimidating for the players because of the noise in the building and whatnot, but for the setup of the logistics, it's pretty good.
Just imagine playoff atmosphere. It just must have been a gong show.
Yeah,
yeah. The things you hear on the bench, I can just imagine too. If you're ever mic'd up for a game. Well, I'm out of questions.
Rogers mic'd up games.
All right.
I've said that many times. Yeah. Put him in the between the benches like Ray Ferraro.
We tried, and the league wouldn't allow it for safety reasons.
Put on a helmet.
I was going to make Craig Eagles go. It wasn't going to be me. I was going to let him sit there.
Well, that's it for me. I don't want to take up too much of your time, Craig. You guys got anything else?
No, I just, I'm so blown away with everything that, you do to get this team ready to go, and basically you're such a huge essential piece of the puzzle here, and I just obviously welcome back for year two. Like you said, there's a lot of changes that kind of took place, and the fact that you're back here proves that you loved what you did, man. So best of luck this year. I think that I'm not gonna say championship or bust, but I'm feeling we could see a banner raised this year. I'm feeling good about it.
Well, thanks for having me, and let's hope you're right about that banner.
Perfect. Thanks, Craig. I appreciate
thanks,
it, bud.
Oh, well, this has been fun. Any last thoughts on training camp or anything before we get out of here?
I'm gonna try to sneak into a few of those scrimmages this week and
try.
Yeah, not that they're free or anything. I mean, yeah, they're free.
Everybody, check it out. Yeah. Get down there. Yeah. Get down there and take a look. It's great to see. The guys would love to see the support.
Mm-hmm. No, it's what is it? Thursday at 11:30. And Friday at 11:30.
Thursday at 10:30.
Well, I think the group goes
The games, 11:30, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll sneak in there at about 11:29 and grab a seat.
Get out of there at 12:20.
Probably sit around next to my good buddy Brent DeBorn. He'll be there.
Oh, for sure he will.
Yeah.
And if you can't get to the Thursday-Friday ones, get to the Saturday one at noon, red and white game, and then, of course, Sunday at the Propane Center, 4 p.m. against Bathurst. Maybe we'll ice a full roster. Who knows?
Well, yeah, we're gonna have Danoye, Pelche, and Sear on the top line.
Rodrigue in the net.
Yeah,
we are guns a blazing.
Take that, Bathurst.
The other thing I want to say too is that obviously registration's open for the Cats Cup. Some of the funniest things. If you've got kids, you want to check it out. Watching the ball hockey that goes on downtown while all this stuff's happening. Rookies are dancing on stage. Everyone's crushing poutines. It's a great time. I saw that the Cats had posted the registration's open. So if you haven't registered already, I don't know when it closes, but you're not going to want to miss out. It's a lot of fun, and it's memories for your kids too, right? So check it out.
Should be an adult division.
Oh my God.
That'd be fun.
The 18 and over division.
Oh, Aspero would cross check you in the neck. It'd be delightful.
Thanks again for listening to the show. It's been it's going to be an interesting, fun year. It's good to be back. We'll be back next week with some training camp chatter, including a game recap and Maritime Division Preview. Thanks again for listening.
Hey-o.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.